Welcome back to The Pulse, stories at the heart of health, science, and innovation. I'm Mike and Scott. Hoarding has become a bit of a spectacle these days. Reality TV shows like Hoarders or Buried Alive have viewers sitting on the edge of their couch, wondering just what kind of junk or creatures might pop up next.
Oh my God. This is the bedroom? What's in this box?
I don't even want to.
There's like, okay, I'm not doing that box.
No. Oh my gosh.
But hoarding, the extreme inability to get rid of things, is an expression of mental illness. Psychiatrists now recognize it as a distinct disorder. And as people get older, the condition can get worse. Sometimes it's up to the next generation to clean up.
You couldn't get in this room. It was mountains. I'm Lisa Friedman, and we're in Havertown at my mother's house. My mother is Marilyn Friedman, and she goes by Marjo, which was her Screen Actors Guild name, and she lived here for 62 years. Pretty long time to be collecting things.
The house looks shabby. Furniture, books, papers, clothes are everywhere, making it hard to walk. In one corner, hundreds of cassette tapes are stacked. Marilyn used to enjoy taping conversations with guests. Stuff is messy, perhaps even a bit repulsive, but it does tell a story. It reveals a person's dreams and whispers about their losses.
My mom was married until she was about 65, and my father decided to go on a vacation to Florida to visit his brother and never came back. So he left her with the house and no money.
Last year, Lisa Friedman's mom, Marilyn, had to move into a nursing home after she broke her hip, and Lisa began to dig through layers and layers of her mother's stuff and the belongings of other people she had started to collect.
I knew from the time I was a teenager that something wasn't right. I didn't know what it was at the time because it started just by her collecting piles of articles, and she just loved collecting clippings, and it could be faces of magazines and that type of thing. But I knew that other friends' houses weren't filled with those things. I remember very vividly one day came home after school and I had a friend down the street and she was inviting some other friends from junior high. And I remember when one of the girls came down my house to knock on the door to find me, I hid. I didn't want her to come into my house, so I acted like I wasn't here. Yeah, there was a lot of shame around it. It really began to escalate after my father left her. So she's 89, so it's about the last 35 years. I would, you know, come in and try to help her clean. She wouldn't let me touch anything. She didn't want to get rid of anything. She might use it someday. I tried to display some of the wonderful vintage clothing that my mother looked like Marlo Thomas back in the 60s. I mean, she was hot. You know, jewelry and hats, and even, as you can see, this is a fox collar, which you wouldn't find very much anymore. She loved to take, you know, poses, you know, for headshots and that type of thing. She's a beautiful woman. And the way that she hoarded other people's things, you see this gal here? This is a friend of hers that was an Olympics ice skater, a Russian Olympic ice skater. And I have found, that's just a couple photos, she found news articles and other photographs of this woman and has kept these, you know, in the house. She just had to keep those mementos of other people so I guess she could keep seeing the people that had passed on. As a matter of fact, this gal's ashes are somewhere in the house we found. I know, it's pretty creepy, right? Yeah. You know, she tells me many times that I didn't realize how poor she was as a child. She said she lived in 15 places. So, you know, she didn't really have a stable environment, and I think a lot of that comes from that. Once I get done with the house and sell it, I'll feel very relieved, you know, to put this behind. You know, I'd come here by myself or my partner would come with me, and I would just have to sigh really loud in the rooms I was cleaning because I had to focus on where I was in that one spot, because if I looked around, it was so overwhelming and so daunting. And I knew that there would come a point when I would be grateful for having gotten through, you know, the layers on top, because, you know, I've been able to connect the dots better of, you know, my history and, you know, be able to find the mother that I remember as a child. She's the love of my life and the bane of my existence, if I was to put it any other way.
We drove to visit Marilyn Friedman at the nursing home where she stays now. She says she misses her home.
I always like my home because all my things, quotation, are in my home. The gowns and all that stuff.
Hoarding is especially difficult with older populations, says Dr. Linda Welsh. She directs the Anxiety and Agoraphobia Treatment Center in Bala Cynwyd. Mountains of things pose a greater health risk for older people, and their habit might get worse with dementia. I asked her what treatment looks like for hoarding.
Treatment looks very much like it does for other anxiety disorders or even depression. Cognitive behavioral treatment is certainly indicated, meaning we have to understand what the thought process is of the person that hoards or what their behavior is in terms of impulsive buying. Often it runs in families, and there's pretty clearly a biological component that we are now seeing with anxiety, and even anxiety distinct from hoarding. Hoarding brains look a little bit different than other brains in the research that they're doing now.
Are hoarders typically aware that they have an issue?
Mostly not. A lot of them are in denial, and they have very good reasons for living the way they live. So it's a particularly difficult area because there's not a lot of motivation to get rid of things, and it's usually that it's a bother to others rather than themselves. The interesting thing is, if you start to investigate what the issue is, it's not that they're sloppy or that they're disorganized or thoughtless. It's they worry and they want to make sure that things are protected and they have what they need and that other people are taken care of in a strange way. I had a really interesting incident with a patient of mine who collected newspapers, and I mean for years, and I asked her what the meaning was, which is very important in trying to figure out why and how to treat this issue. She said she holds on to obituaries, even if they're people she doesn't know, because she doesn't want to think that people disappear and that there's nothing left of them.
What's your advice for families who perhaps have an elderly family member who's a hoarder?
Well, first of all, lose the judgment. You know, the worst thing to do in terms of approach to treatment is go in and say, you know, this is a mess, this is junk. Watch your language. You have to recognize and understand that your relative may be very attached and have a discussion about it. Does it interfere with the way you're living? Would you like it to be different? Is there a place or a way we can organize things so you're not at risk? And kind of take a practical approach rather than a judgmental approach so that the person doesn't become defensive, which makes them hold on even tighter to the things that they are valuing. So you want to begin to understand what's behind the hoarding. If this doesn't work, then you have to seek professional counselors to come in and talk to the individual. It may make sense to talk to the physician that cares for your family member and say, is it possible that medication could help with the anxiety that's behind the hoarding?
Linda Welsh directs the Anxiety and Agoraphobia Treatment Center in Bala Cynwyd.
I'll keep my belongings with me at all times. I know what is mine. I'll keep mine.